Mr. Herman.
Poop again! Party on, dudes!
10, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Extreme close up!
I'll leave. I can.
I'm gonna go now. Yeah,
tell me when they play the middle. I'll be right back.
I'll be back for that one.
Yeah,
for the hit.
There's actually. I have a on the subject of Jimmy Eat World. I have a memory that ties into last week's episode.
Yes.
But before I bring that up, I will get into this week's. Welcome everybody into the Radcast. We're doing another Radcast ramble this week, and a guest of all consequence is returning because she has made several appearances in the now 201 podcast episodes we've produced. If you listened last week, we talked about the Sam Raimi 2002 Spider-Man release for our 200th podcast that Matt and I have been a part of.
That's
what this one is?
This is 201. Oh, last week God's was 200. Sake. Sorry.
Again.
Andrea is approaching with my order from Chipotle.
Oh, excellent.
All right, Andrew.
Andrea.
Oh, Andrea.
She's not here yet. She had another order nearby, according to the app.
Okay. So. Yeah, I'm glad to keep you on all the little minute notifications.
It's the minutiae. When we
developed the idea of the Radcast Ramble, we had like a handful of specific people in mind that would thrive at this format.
Yeah.
And our guest today is one of them.
Yes. See, this is actually so. For those of you that have been listening to us this whole time, you heard her on her four appearances of Sucktastic Cinema. Mm-hmm. This is her third appearance on the Radcast. Our sister Samantha Kennedy returns.
Oh, hello, it's me.
Hello.
It's me.
Yes.
I'm
so
here.
It's like in the song Creep by TLC. It's me again.
Yeah.
And I'm back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I was just listening to, you guys know I sent you those videos. I didn't know you'd heard of Postmodern Jukebox.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I love Postmodern Jukebox.
Yes.
When you said Creep, the first thing that popped into my head was their version of Creep by
Radiohead.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay.
Which is, I love their version of it. And it's been in my head all week. So when you said that, I was like, psychic! But then you were talking about TLC.
TLC, I was
wrong.
I am a fan of different arrangements of songs, and Postmodern Jukebox does a very good job of that.
I kind of want to, like, sue Postmodern Jukebox, though.
Oh,
okay. Because for years, and Brian will be a witness to this, for, like, all the time that he's ever known me, like, that's what I do by myself at home.
Yeah. Like, crooner,
is like
version.
Crooner version of just everything.
Yeah.
And so I lost my damn mind.
What the hell?
When I found Postmodern Jukebox, I was like, you mean it's not just me?
Hold on. Give me some to break.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to break stuff. Yes. Just one of those days.
Exactly.
I don't want to wake up.
When you said you wouldn't do Hanson today, I was like, oh, that's great. Postmodern Jukebox has
an
Oombop version.
Yes.
And it's exactly what you think it would be.
And the best episode of Space Ghost Coast to Coast is the episode where Hanson.
With Hanson pretty.
The little one looks like Claudia Schiffer.
That's on HBO Max. Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Okay. Well, last week we had our buddy Matt Swofford. Shout out to Matt. He's been on several episodes of our podcast.
Yep. Not as good as me, but that's fine.
Okay. Well, all right. I feel like if we say anybody, you'll say not as good as you. That's understandable.
It's because I'm the number one.
You're confident in
number
yourself
one.
And your abilities.
It's like a mystery.
My eyes.
We are
number one.
All others are two or lower.
But I love that movie. But also, it's Nacho Libre. Where
you
got her eyes. It's number one.
I love Nacho Libre. My favorite part of Nacho Libre
is number one.
Is after their first tag team match. He's like, those guys are a bunch of wusses. And then he's like, come on, baby.
He's pushing out a
poop. I don't know. I like when he forcefully baptizes his guy.
You're baptized.
I mean, I love the whole movie.
That's why we always lose.
I love the whole movie, but like when he goes, come on, baby. It's just so Jack Black.
I'll be at work and I'll just be like, I hate all the orphans in the entire world.
We constantly in our house go, go away. Read some books.
Good.
Read some books. Whenever the children are bugging me, I'm like, go
People don't think
away.
I know a crap ton about the gospel, but I do. I love that movie. It's so funny.
It's excellent.
So good.
In the course of the last 5 minutes,
I really was not going to do this. I told myself, you're going to let them get through the introduction this time.
No, no, no. So we've pretty much got through the introduction. We've introduced Samantha. It's a Radcast Ramble.
Because it's a ramble.
This is what it is.
This is the arena for that.
Episode 201. But we mentioned episode 200 with Spider-Man. We mentioned the incredible band Jimmy Eat World.
The Good Spider-Man? Yes. Is that the first one with Tobey Maguire?
Yes. So I bring
that's
that
the only
up
one I liked.
Because we've mentioned several times over the course of the 4 years of podcast that anytime we talk about...
Did we go to see that together in the theater? We did, it was me and Steven.
Anytime we bring up
how
recollecting...
Old
were
you?
We were 10.
Holy shit!
So it was May 2002. We were 10, almost the end of fourth grade. We're going to be 11 that summer.
Yeah. I must have been
2002.
Yeah. It was shortly after you got your driver's license because you were just looking for opportunities to drive.
Let's go to a movie, bitches.
Okay.
Except at 19, there's no way I would have said that.
Of course.
Bitches.
Come on, whispered idiots.
Come on, you guys.
we always talk about it. We recollect upon it lovingly because, as we mentioned last week and have we mentioned before, every time we talk about that movie at length, we talk about it with such high esteem.
Yeah.
And part of that is the memory of seeing it in theaters, which you took us to go see. And we always bring it up that is part of why it was just so...
One of the most indelible theater experiences
exactly.
I've ever
had. And we kind of, we dove...
That's my aura, really.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, my aura.
Well, it had everything to do with Chad Kroeger's song at the end. So I'm sorry. I hate to break it to
you. You know how much mom just loves her some Chad Kroeger.
Yes.
She bought those Nickelback CDs.
I was like,
had you listened to these
lyrics? Do you even know what the lyrics are,
She's
mom?
She's doing her laundry. She's like, get your pants around your legs. Mom's just doing laundry.
She's not even...
Are you listening?
Mother, you're the one who wouldn't let us watch such and such, and you're listening to Nickelback?
Exactly.
Well, it's funny because in high school, mom went through this very brief thing where she's like, after Matt and I got our first iPods and we were downloading things from iTunes, she's like, I want you, any songs you download, I want to see the lyrics too. And I'm like, I thought it was bullshit, but I printed out the lyrics to Give It Away by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
And I was like, there's no way.
There's a lyric that said, what I gotta get it, put it in you.
Yeah.
And mom looked at it, she's like, okay. And I was like,
it's fine.
Dude, what? Okay, I mean, Anthony Kiedis is no poet laureate, but I mean, that's okay. But there's a line in there about juice.
The biggest sort of jaw-dropping moment for me, I guess I was probably 21, because I was still at Crossroads and hanging out. The Langfords were still here, and I was hanging out with them. Yeah. And mom, I can't remember if I was still living with mom and dad or if I was just over visiting or whatever. Like, so I was definitely like 19 or 20. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting in the living room and mom says the word spooge. And I lost my mind. I was like, looked at her and I was like, who the hell are you?
What was the context?
Do you remember the context? I just remember.
What is spooge? I've never heard that before.
Isn't it slang for ejaculate?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yes. And I just looked at her like, how do you know that word, mother?
Yes.
Like, I can't believe you just said.
I lived in the
80s. And I was just like, all of a sudden, this other person that I'd never seen in 20 years of my life was in front of me. I was just like, clearly, you just don't know what you're saying right now.
What?
Do you know what that word means?
Well,
it reminds me of your first appearance on here.
Do I know what that word means?
Yeah, exactly. Your first appearance on
here on
Adventures of Pete and Pete. You're like, I guess I just shot my wad and you didn't know what it meant.
Didn't it all of a sudden occur to me after I said it?
We kind of looked at you sideways.
Like
you're like, oh my God, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And we told you, and like, oh my God.
What did I just say?
I guess I just shot my wad.
I've been saying this forever, and I've been saying this to people.
I said it in church announcements. So I was like, looks like we shot our wad this month.
So anyway.
I don't think I did that.
Yeah,
but
anyway.
No, no, no.
Anyway, let the Lord's prayer, everybody. but all of
sermon's
that,
over. I shot my wife.
Yeah, exactly. Well, all my illustrations, I all shot of, my wad with those.
What started with talking about Spider-Man, I like to kind of reel it back yes. in.
This but, is why we call but, it a ramble, I
yeah,
guess.
But, exactly.
Listen, people, this is just, if there's people out there that don't understand how to, an ADHD brain, like, yes. this is that whole, ooh, squirrel. But yeah, like, exactly. in adults, like, yeah. in context, mm-hmm. like.
You start on one subject you don't, and then you don't, one thing.
You don't just
right.
have one of them talking to you right now. You have three of yeah. them.
You have three people that grew up together.
Yes. It becomes literally a car crash.
It's one of those things where I've had people who have met all of us and I've said, oh, hey, you know what? I think I had a podcast idea one time yeah. and I said to someone, hey, like, this might be up your alley. And they're like, are you going to be doing it with your brother? Would you do it with your brothers? And I was like, yeah, I mean, they'd definitely be a part of it. And that person's like, no, there's no way I can keep up with you. And I was just like, you don't have to keep up with us. It's yeah, okay.
We
just,
don't want do we, we just, don't want
we don't
you
need to.
Eat the meat and spit out the bones. That's all you gotta do.
Yeah.
What was
all we need you to do is laugh. That's it.
But get the sustenance and spit out everything else. Whatever.
Just whatever it is.
Spider-Man 2002.
Yes. So yeah. I want it from because in 20 years so much has changed. I mean, so much has changed for all of us, but you've gone
oh
through
my God,
bigger
Richard
kind of
Marx's life. Face looks so yes. weird right now.
That's because I have
shirt.
A big chest.
It's, yeah, exactly. it's all those push-ups and stuff.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And those pull-ups
well,
and whatnot.
I think he just has a weird-looking face. If he's yeah. not smiling or something, he kind of has a weird...
True.
I love Richard Marx. He is
oh,
a good-looking
yeah,
man.
Great.
But in some lights, he just has a weird-looking face.
He does.
Whatever. But coming back around, just I wanted to just with kind of what we talked about last week and yeah. then kind of keep this Spider-Man summer... going yeah. along. I
oh,
just,
is that are you doing a theme?
No, not really. But I mean, we next
an alliteration
in his mind.
In the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about No Way Home, and yeah. that'll tie into the first Spider-Man.
I might have seen yeah. that one. Which one was that?
That's the latest one.
Yeah.
What's the one where he went to like Europe or
that's,
England?
That's Far From Home.
I yeah. saw that
with Jake
one.
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
just real quickly to kind of tie up last week to yeah. tie into our memories and kind of what Matt and I kind of talked about, mm-hmm. what ties into the movie for us. What do you remember about, because we all grew up watching the same X-Men and Spider-Man cartoons. Mm-hmm. You had interest, you know, in comic books and in stuff like that.
I did.
So... I know a lot of times we kind of yeah. stuck with X-Men things, but you still enjoyed Spider-Man. So with the lead up to the Spider-Man movie, this is X-Men movie had come out a couple years before that.
Yeah.
What can you kind of remember of the marketing? What can you kind of remember if you had an interest? Because you took us because
I did.
We obviously had some sort of interest. Mm-hmm. So it was something that you wanted to see too, or was it something
for
us?
I don't remember why I wanted to see it. So because I really wasn't. I don't know, remember being super into, well, maybe I was. Mm-hmm. I think there was something about, like, the newspaper Spider-Man comics that
yeah.
I would read those sometimes. Sure. I mean, I was mostly X-Men.
Yeah,
like,
yeah of course,
X-Men,
yeah.
like, I wasn't as much into Spider-Man. But I think I was a big Kirsten Dunst fan
gotcha.
At the time.
Yeah.
Like, I think I really liked her at the time. And so, and you know, she was Mary Jane mm-hmm. in that version. That's the thing I can remember about it the most. And yeah. I do remember that I enjoyed it. And
yeah.
I remember that I did not enjoy the subsequent Tobey Maguire
right.
Spider-Man films.
Yeah, it kind of fell off in a lot of ways
yeah.
with
well,
2 and 3.
And he also, I don't know, like in the first movie, I remember I saw it and I thought, oh, he's kind of cute. But then like,
yeah.
I started to feel like he was kind of a creep.
It, I can see
as
that.
Like as
yeah.
a person.
Yeah. Kind of a, we mentioned
weird.
Last week how there's actually, for two kind of cornerstone characters of a franchise, Peter Parker and Mary Jane,
mm-hmm.
and the story you're trying to tell and adapting yeah. this to the screen, have like no chemistry.
No.
And
they
just,
don't.
He's just awkward around her the whole time. It's like Sam Raimi really leaned into the
yeah.
awkward Peter Parker.
Yeah.
When like, that's more so, yeah, he's kind of a loser in college, but I wouldn't
yeah.
even say loser because he's lovable. I
yeah.
mean, he'd still be kind of a lovable loser,
I
but
just,
like a lot of that awkward stuff, I think he kind of shed with Mary Jane in like high school,
mm-hmm.
but we said, Jeff had kind of mentioned they hot-shotted the story from high school to
right.
college so
yeah,
they could
yeah.
focus
yeah.
on adult Peter Parker,
yeah, because just, they were adults playing
exactly
high
schoolers. Well, yeah, they're like 30-year-olds.
You would hope the two leads, the love interests, would have a little better chemistry.
Yeah,
but I think they were even dating at the time.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, I don't get Tobey Maguire as a leading man. Like, I just don't get
either.
That from him at all.
Yeah,
he's sort of like the Plan B Topher Grace, in my opinion. Like, I think Topher Grace is better. It's like Topher Grace is like the skinny nerdy but like cute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I feel like what's his face? Tobey Maguire is like he's just too soft and like
he's a soft
like,
boy.
You can't see what I'm doing right now, but I'm like it's pushing my face to like be like
he's kind of doughy.
Yeah.
He's kind of doughy. And not very charming.
Yeah.
And like,
I'm curious because originally Jake Gyllenhaal was in talks to be Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Absolutely.
At that time. With
that
Jake Gyllenhaal at that time. Because like Bubble Boy and Donnie Darko.
He was a little awkward, but he's more like chiseled,
like a square jaw.
He is now, especially.
Yeah.
To me, he looks more like a Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And
like, I think he's a better actor.
Like
he would have been a better actor.
Jake Gyllenhaal
is. You said you saw Far From Home. He's Mysterio in that.
He's very good in Far From Home.
If he took his act, quote unquote act, nice guy act as Mysterio. If he translated that as Peter Parker, and then he can still you know throw out the quips of Spider-Man, be convincing. I think it would have like. Now, granted, it is still a well-loved franchise, and we made sure to wrap up the episode last week by saying we still love this movie for various reasons, and I think the pass comes and the kind of the tolerance for Tobey Maguire kind of the buck stop, especially as we've gotten older, the buck kind of stops with the
first
movie.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Which the second movie again has its merits. The third one is widely panned for good reason.
Yeah.
But
you know who's in it?
Topher Grace.
I didn't see that one.
So is Bryce Dallas Howard. She's Gwen Stacy.
She?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They try to shoehorn a lot of things.
Thomas Hayden Church was Sandman.
Yeah.
Maybe I did see pieces of that then because I remember him.
We saw it twice in theaters. That came out our freshman year of high school.
You know what I liked him in? George of the Jungle.
Of course.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Lyle.
And Wings.
With our man,
Brendan Fraser.
With
our, I've acquired, in this new studio, I've acquired an Encino Man movie poster flag.
I love it.
Oh, it's great.
But it, of course, has Brendan Fraser in there.
Brendan Fraser,
we love
forever.
Brendan Fraser. We absolutely love Brendan Fraser.
If you haven't seen Doom, you guys got to see Doom Patrol. Doom Patrol. He's so different. Yes, it jars you at first because it is not the sweet, charming, like Brendan Fraser a while back. Doom Patrol's good, and he's very good in it.
Yeah.
So
and he got cast in the Batgirl HBO Max. Is it a movie?
Is he in that?
So he's going to be Firefly, which is an underutilized Batman villain. Firefly, most notable for being in the
Arkham Origins or Arkham
that, but. Comic book wise, he was a part of the gauntlet Batman had to run before Bane.
In Nightfall.
Before Bane broke his
back. You know what my favorite Spider-Man? You know what my favorite Spider-Man is?
Who?
Can you guess what it is?
John Mulaney?
No.
Spider-Man?
Oh, no, I don't mean person who played Spider-Man. I mean video, movie, whatever. Do you know what I think's the best one?
Which one?
Guess.
Not the cartoon with Greg Brady.
As the voice of
the
Spider-Man.
90s one. The 60s Spider-Man?
No, Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, of course.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John Mulaney does. He does that little piggy voice
or whatever. Into the Spider-Verse is incredible.
I love
Andrea,
Into the Spider-Verse.
Are you not going to deliver my food? I don't know if she is. We'll see.
Why, Andrea?
Why?
If you're listening, why? Why are you late?
It's okay.
But all in all, to kind of tie up that, because we'll probably reference the first Spider-Man again when we talk about No Way Home. But as a whole, you said you liked the movie.
I remember I enjoyed it.
I remember the scene where the Green Goblin bursts through Aunt May's window, or as she says the Lord's Prayer. I remember you said you cried during that part, not putting you on blast. Like, haha, you cried.
I don't remember. I cried a lot of things.
Yeah.
So it's
I'll
totally
cry
fine.
At a commercial.
It does not embarrass me at all. I vaguely recall. I mean, I believe it.
Yeah.
Out
of the three of us. I don't remember it, but I believe it.
Out of the three of us, 20 years has felt longer. I'd say probably for you because you've gone through more significant life changes, becoming
a mother
and everything.
That's right. My life has been more significant than yours.
You got the mommy brain. Yes.
That's what you're taking away from it? Okay.
I prefer to just take away from it whatever makes me feel the best.
Yeah. It's like when someone says, you're impotent. I am important.
I'm bald and important. But the Jimmy Eat World connection, to go back
Holy
to what we're talking
shit,
about at the beginning, is on, I remember kind of there was a downhill slope that kind of you drive down it, and it reveals Jamestown Mall where we saw the parking lot.
Which are they knocking that down finally?
Yep, they're knocking it down. Yeah. But The Middle by Jimmy Eat World was playing on a mix CD on the radio.
And I had the album. Yeah. That tells you how old I am. I just said album.
I had the album.
I had the actual CD.
Anal bum cover. An album cover. Yeah. But I remember we crested that hill, and as we were going downhill to get to the Jamestown Hall parking lot, The Middle by Jimmy Eat World.
I remember that.
Playing.
Yep.
That might as well be on the Spider-Man soundtrack, because all the songs on the Spider-Man soundtrack and The Middle I associate with arriving and that movie.
Yes.
So that's a pin. That's turn the page on that for now.
Okay.
That's what we just wanted to talk to you about, kind of what whatever you remembered from taking us to see it, to kind of tie in the last week.
I remember. We did that. So I get so mad at Brian because he does that.
Hey yo.
He started to get overuse that, and so we'll be watching things. I mean, just like,
what is it again?
It's Key and Peele.
Key and Peele.
Oh, yeah. Hey yo. Yo, Terry's.
Yeah. Terry's. Yeah. So
don't tear it.
3D
printer, baby.
He does it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes, it has ended. There have been times where I've been like, get out of here. Like, I'm not watching whatever we were watching. I will turn it off and be like, stop it. Because it'll be like dramatic and serious. And then someone will like turn around and they'll be next to me and they'll go, yow, yow. And I'm just like, shut up!
Yow, yow.
But every once in a while, there is like a super appropriate time to do it, and I laugh my ass off. But that's the thing. So I married a person that fits very well in our family.
Oh, perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
I love that you did this.
Chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss.
Mwah. Ah, hurdy, birdy, birdy, burski. Verty, furk. Verty, furk.
And I can't remember anymore if he just fits or if we've molded him.
He's retrofitted into the family.
He's retrofitted.
Yeah.
I also wanted to bring up something you might have, even though it was 25 years ago, something you might have more of a recollection of because it made more of an impact on you.
I know what it is.
Middle of Nowhere by phenomenally underrated
Great Hanson.
Let me just tell you something.
Celebrates 25 years.
I know that we are sarcastic a lot. And in fact, it may sound like we're being sarcastic right now.
No, not
at
all.
We are not.
No.
Because here's the thing. I have spent half of my life defending Hanson.
Yes.
And telling people, no, listen. I get that they're an easy target, but they're actually, if you like listen to their albums, and I had like their first three or four albums, like even after they weren't like the big one hit wonders anymore or whatever, I was still listening to them. They're incredibly talented.
This time around is a killer song.
They've always written their own music, even when they were itty bitty babies.
Even 30 years ago, 1992, when their first album came out.
Right, exactly. Like Umbop, and so people like to make fun of Umbop, but like the lyrics are really meaningful if you really stop and listen. And they're talking about like how short life can be, and like focus on things that matter. And you know, Umbop, yes, they were popular, but Umbop is like, that means what they're saying is it can be gone in things can be gone like
it's
this, like this,
exactly.
Bop,
and it's gone.
This is a revelation because I've never made that connection
Holy
before.
Shit. This you're learning this for the first. Usually, I'm the one learning things for the first time.
You've been diving into them more like emphatically.
I love them.
Right. But you've been more emphatic about them, so you've been more like since you were 14.
They 14, 15 years old.
You were the demographic. I was.
I was the demographic. It was like them and Spice Girls, and I was a very reluctant to enjoy it because in our family, we learned to be pretentious quite young. And so.
Yes. I was just talking to someone the other day about how pretentious I used to be about like
everything.
Something.
I like to just pretend, shove down and pretend the fact that I did enjoy some of, you know, the Spice Girls music. Some. And in fact, I've seen the Spice Girls movie by accident.
Spice World is great.
An astonishing amount of times.
Yeah.
Like, it just has it's just happened that, like, it somebody has wanted to watch it, and I've been in the room, you know, when I was, like, a teenager and an adult.
It's so much fun. That movie
is
great.
It's actually a really fun movie. Yeah. Like, it's... They knew what they were doing.
It was made to be campy.
It was made to be campy. And so, because if there's anybody who treats their humor like you need to like get a doctorate, it's the British. The British take humor very seriously. But this time around, you mentioned, and I would say that one's even, I think that's the one that I think is even better.
And that's the year 2000, which I was listening to Middle of Nowhere. The album that Umbach comes off of is called Middle of Nowhere,
which kicks right off with Thinking of You, which is such a good song.
Which came out May 6th, 1997, which is celebrates 25 years. Which it had.
Did you say 1997?
Yes.
Okay.
Which and this time around came out in 2000, I believe.
Okay.
But Umbach is it's a pop hit for a reason, and it can be considered a quote unquote one hit wonder. Middle of Nowhere is at least five or six songs in there. Like,
Thinking
are
of You,
bangers.
Where's the Love,
Speechless,
Man
from Milwaukee.
Every song on there is just absolutely awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I would say that of the albums, so I've heard their. I guess I'm looking at their thing right now.
Discography.
So I had the three that I had were Middle of Nowhere, This Time Around, and then Underneath with. Which came out in 2004.
Okay.
Of those three, the best one was This Time Around. Mm-hmm. Underneath and Middle of Nowhere both had some really great songs.
Which
on them.
Which but, goes to show how enduring like their musicianship is, because This Time Around
they just put out an album just now.
Yeah.
Just like this
like
year.
They still tour. They still make music.
They do.
But This Time Around was released 3 years after Middle of Nowhere, which some would argue was their peak of popularity, at least when they were showing their videos. And you say it's their best work.
I think it's their best. So looking at their discography, they've basically never stopped recording.
Mm-hmm.
So they have been recording since 97. They have, I like their one they did with the String Theory one. Mm. I wish that I'd been able to go out in 2018. I wish I'd been able to see that. That would have been
nice. They brought that to St. Louis.
They did, but they sold out so quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they had something in 2021, looks like Against the World, and then another one in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So they've never stopped recording. So somebody is willing to give them enough money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
To record. So,
And if it sold out that fast, there's still...
In
just St. Louis, like, there's a... These are still a fan base and a market, people who buy their music.
Whenever I think of Hanson, and Samantha's involved with this memory, obviously, we were at Sam Goody at Jamestown Mall.
Oh, my God!
And I remember there was a Hanson...
Sam
Goody. I still think about Sam Goody sometimes.
I miss... Yeah,
I still remember where it was in Jamestown.
Super old.
You had to go down.
Miss real bookstores, real music stores.
You walk past the water fountain. You had to go down two steps, and then it's
Sam
just
Sam
I can
Goody.
See it
in my
almost
head.
Has like its whole wall. Because we talked about last week. We talked about Turn 2, the comics and cards store in Jamestown.
Oh, yeah.
Because we went to try to see Spider-Man earlier in the day.
Yeah.
The screens were sold out.
Yes.
So you took us to the card store, and this guy handed us from Free Comic Book Day like 3 weeks before.
Oh my gosh.
The first issue of Ultimate Spider-Man, which was the giveaway. But and then we went. Later that night, but just to mention kind of Turn 2,
we were at Sam Goody, and they had Hanson like standy like the stand-up
oh my
like
gosh.
That you put in your like the
stand-up cardboard.
Yeah, because I had a Joey Lawrence one.
Yes.
When I was in elementary school, I had the Joey Lawrence one because he was, that's when he was
the shit.
Becoming a, well, it was Blossom, and then he was
Nothing My Love Can't Fix.
Nothing My Love Can't Fix. So they had, like, I remember because they premiered the music video at the end of an episode of Blossom.
Nice.
And, like, the character, the character, Joey Lawrence's character, Joey.
Yeah.
Surprise,
the brain trust on that one.
Yeah. I know.
It's the only thing he remembers. You can't call him anything else.
He fell asleep on the couch, and they debuted the music video.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Which always makes me think of, fast forward 20-ish years later, to the, have you guys watched The Kroll Show?
Nick Kroll's you showed us.
I thought so. And they have, he, for some reason, he has this weird, he's not from Canada, but he has this weird fixation on Canada.
Wheels, Ontario.
Wheels, Ontario. Yes. But he has that, that character that's the, he's clearly a Justin Bieber knockoff.
Yeah.
And he does that, I don't want to go to bed.
Yes, that's
but
perfect.
It's like, but it reminds me of, you know, because they do like a, oh, after this episode of Wheels, Ontario will be, you know, his. And so it reminds, it always reminds me of back, these are things that I don't know that anybody does this anymore because I don't watch network television because it's, we watch Netflix.
Yeah, stick around after the break to
Netflix,
watch, you know.
Or, I watch a lot of something called Rakuten Viki because, you know, I'm obsessed with K-dramas right now.
Exactly, yes.
So that, you know, like, we stream. That's what we do. But
YouTube and Instagram is where you can.
Oh, Andrea dropped off my quesadilla.
All right.
Which is a reference from what movie? Quesadilla.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah. Made by the same people that made
Nacho Libre.
That's called ADHD.
The guy who played Elvis in this newest Baz Luhrmann movie looks like Napoleon Dynamite. Austin Butler, the guy who plays Elvis, looks like a sexier Napoleon Dynamite.
He does. Isn't Austin Butler? No, I'm thinking of somebody else. So when I think of Baz Luhrmann, I think of Strictly Ballroom.
Strictly Ballroom, which is 30 years old this year.
Shut up.
It is.
I don't want to hear it.
All right.
I don't want to hear it.
That doesn't mean it isn't true.
That means the hunky guy who starred in it is like 1,000.
Yeah. Scott something.
Or yeah,
no,
I don't.
Scott was his character's name.
Scott was his character.
Yeah.
I can't.
No, Scott!
I'm getting my quesadilla.
Yeah, go get your quesadilla. That's my impression of his mom yelling at him.
No, Scott!
Because he wants to dance with Fran, who's kind of, at the beginning, she's the, why are we telling you this when, like, the, we'll wait for Samantha.
Because we're the experts.
We're the experts. While the person who's actually watched
Fran.
It countless times. Yeah. So Scott, as we explain Strictly Ballroom for two people who haven't watched it as much as our guests.
Exactly.
Something about Bogo Pogo.
Bogo Pogo.
Guy that looks like Ric Flair. Mr. Hastings.
Oh, that's lovely, guys. Thanks, Andrea.
Nice packaging.
It's not Andrea's fault.
I don't know. This might be Andrea's fault.
I think she's trying to sabotage me. So before
we'll get back to my Hanson story.
Let's go back to Hanson now. I've been interrupted.
You know what?
So we can go back to Hanson.
This is not the last ramble Samantha's going to be
Hanson,
on.
Hanson, yeah.
Sam
so
Goody. There was a standee at Sam Goody.
There was, at the register. Yes. We were standing at the register. I can't remember. I think you were getting something, Samantha.
I'm sure I was.
And we were standing at the register, and there are those cardboard stand-ups that are there. They were standing there. It was all of Hanson. Mm-hmm. And I remember there was a girl in front of us who, you know, when you're a little kid, all people older than you seem way older
like
than
way
they
old,
actually
yeah.
are.
Like,
so
if you think about a 12-year-old, seems like they're 16.
She was probably 13 or 14. And I remember she her body language suggested, oh, this, I love Hanson. And she kisses her hand and puts it on Taylor Hanson's face. And I remember looking at you, and you rolled your eyes so far back in your head. And then I was thinking, she did not like that. She's like, that is Samantha's band.
Yeah.
So every time I think of Hanson, that's one of the memories I have. You were so disgusted that this person did that.
I was like, listen, in my mind, I was probably like, listen, lady, have some dignity.
You sound like John Mulaney. It's like, listen, lady.
be embarrassed.
It's like dad. Have some pride.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Well, we were watching. That's where I'm getting. I said dignity instead of pride. Well,
we were watching George Carlin before you came over. I love George Carlin, and so much of George Carlin's shtick reminds me so much of dad, and just the whole have some fucking dignity type deal is like that's dad.
Mm-hmm. I think if I were to see that now, I wouldn't roll my eyes. I just would kind of think
it's funny and just kind of going with my day. Okay. It's like whatever. Also, you just think they're a little kid, whatever.
Oh, for sure.
Exactly.
I just always remember how disgusted I was from your perspective, one teenage fan looking at another one having that thought of like, come on, lady. Like, that's just funny to me.
Get it together.
Yeah, exactly.
But I wanted to bring that up because coincidentally, since you are here and it's just recently its turn, I just saw, because we knew we were going to have you on and just kind of scrolling through things. This week I was like, oh, middle of nowhere celebrates 25 years. It's perfect because Samantha is a Hanson die. I saw this week, but it just recently, at the beginning of May, the beginning of last month, the sixth.
Yeah.
So we were like, that's perfect because Samantha is a Hanson apologist and that is and a diehard.
Yeah.
For she is laid out for very good reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They deserve it.
So there's that. Then we kind of mentioned Strictly Ballroom because we mentioned Baz Luhrmann. Yeah. That's celebrating 30 years.
One of those ADHD thoughts that is apropos of nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
You mentioned Napoleon Dynamite, and I saw somebody posting a meme where they took Baz Luhrmann just put out the Elvis movie, which for those of you not familiar with Baz Luhrmann, kind of his MO is super bright and flashy and stylistic with a lot of things.
Romeo and Juliet, which I will just say I didn't like.
Oh, of course. It's super
You're
lame.
More of a Franco Zeffirelli kind of person, right?
I was. I haven't seen it in a long time, but yes, I did prefer Franco Zeffirelli's version.
Mm-hmm.
I've always found Leonardo DiCaprio obnoxious.
Yeah, sure. That's fair. Yeah. Yeah.
I've never been a fan. I mean, I remembered he was on Growing Pains.
Yeah.
For me, he's also somebody where I
love The Departed. That's where he kind of started really becoming, like when he started working with Martin Scorsese, he started showing what kind of potential he had as an
he's
actor.
He's a good actor.
He's an Academy Award winner. Yeah. He's had so many roles that have been in contention for the Academy Awards that, like, there's something to be said for that. But for me as well, I just can't jump on the Leo, train.
One of the only things that sticks out in my head from Baz Luhrmann's Romeo plus Juliet, Romeo and Juliet, was there at like a gas station, and the Mercutio character, the way he says, "How now, Mercutio?"
The supporting cast was way great. It's taking the Shakespeare language, like this flashy contemporary.
They play contemporary music,
which I think Shakespeare would have been.
Yes.
It's kind of like in
A Knight's Tale where they play contemporary music, but it takes place in medieval times. Yeah. I like that the juxtaposition.
The anachronistic.
I like that.
I love anachronisms.
However, that doesn't change the fact that Leonardo DiCaprio was obnoxious in the movie.
As his mother knows him, Leonard.
Now,
Paul Rudd is also in the movie, which I love Paul Rudd.
I'm just in general not a fan of Romeo and Juliet in the first place. And
I think it's a very misunderstood story.
I think it's misunderstood and misunterpreted.
I think it's more so a satire of young love, or just of the over romanticization. Exactly.
That kind of stuff.
Over melodramatic.
Yeah. But I saw, to get back to Baz Luhrmann, with his stylistic approach, he just released recently, I don't know how much will be embellished. I don't think I'll ever see it. But
probably not, but Mom will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know Mom will.
There's a lot of the Elvis lore that has been left to legend. People prefer to believe a myth about the man.
Yeah.
And
I
don't...
Who married his super young cousin.
Kind of groomed.
Yuck. Yeah.
Kind of groomed.
Groomed
Priscilla. Oh, wait. I think I'm remembering somebody else.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
I'm remembering Jerry Lee Lewis. But Priscilla was super young.
She was 16
He still
when
liked
met.
Young girls.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely... I think she was definitely
And he stole
groomed.
Black people's music,
Yeah.
too.
Oh, yeah.
Which, granted,
right.
was
this is not an excuse. People can defend and say, well, everyone was doing that. A, that doesn't make it right.
Yeah. No.
And B, we can't just, if we were deifying this guy, you can't just take out the fact that he stole black people's music.
It doesn't take away from the fact. Now, he had
a little bit of a pedophile.
He grew up with, like, loving and respecting, like, black Southern gospel and going into, you know, black juke joints
why
and stuff like that.
Why can't you give them credit?
You know, Ike Turner tells a story, you know, fuck Ike Turner, but he tells a story about letting Elvis, a young Elvis, in through the back door to watch him play one of his shows because he just had so much love and respect and esteem for black music. That doesn't take away from the fact that you did profit off of and couldn't you have used your fame
to rise up these artists,
elevate
if you
them,
like Hound Dog, go listen to the original,
which is Rosetta Tharpe,
I'm
gonna look it up.
Hound Dog is about a cheating lover, not an up-tempo poppy tune about
talking about an actual dog.
Yeah, exactly. Not like they tried making fun of him on
Big Mama Thornton.
Yes. But it just, when you whitewash it, you change the meaning of the songs that these black artists and meant
about
for them.
Real experiences in your sanitizer.
We're not going to talk too much about Elvis, but again, that it's what I'm doing is I'm trying to frame it as like, how are they going to present? How's Baz Luhrmann going to present it?
Or is it just going to be another?
I will just see it as a stylized telling of an interpretation of a biography that
he
read
myth,
or something.
Of
yeah,
a myth about
exactly.
a living person.
There's a lot.
Not
there's
living.
A lot that's interesting.
Well, some
about
people
his,
think he's living, but
well,
he's
yeah,
not.
Well,
yeah, I did. Sorry, go ahead.
There is a lot, though, about, like, I don't knock him completely because there's still things that, you know, I like about the guy. And he did seem well-meaning about his musically about some stuff. And he did help. He did philanthropy work and, like, however, karate. Yeah, he became a sheriff. Or at least he got a badge.
Are we talking about Stephen Seagal now? What's funny is he told
Richard Nixon, "Make me a sheriff, I'll fight the war on drugs." But the man died probably from his drug habit.
Yeah, exactly.
But no matter how they're going to go into it, back to Baz Luhrmann and his contextually, the thing to say about Elvis
and just like any person is like, we're human beings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so like, Baz Luhrmann's probably going to make a flashy, like, just increasing the myth, but like Elvis himself does not need to be either deified or demonized,
right?
Because like all of us, he is a person.
He was a person
who both was hurt and hurt people, who made both good choices and bad choices, and I think very few people are like evil.
Yeah,
I think there are evil people.
Under the pressures of his fame, it drove him to abuse himself and abuse drugs and alcohol and all these things. Again, it doesn't excuse. Like,
he more than likely
did groom Priscilla Presley. He did like younger girls.
Call a spade a spade.
Yeah,
exactly.
So there's no excusing that.
Yeah. But he was neither a devil nor an angel.
Right.
Like he was a human.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And he should have been held responsible for the bad choices he made. But
and I think he's deified so much because he started pretty much what we consider pop culture.
Yes.
How were TV and music the sea change in both.
Yep.
He started pop culture.
Yeah.
I have something I saw Tom Hanks do.
I don't even like Elvis. Why are we talking about Elvis
Let me transition.
I wanted to contextualize Baz Luhrmann so we could kind of talk about Strictly Ballroom a little bit, which is one of his earlier, like, more well-known efforts.
Yeah. I saw a video of Tom Hanks yesterday because Tom Hanks plays Colonel Tom Parker in this.
Who is an evil man.
Yes. Ugh. So contrary to that, Tom Hanks is not an evil man. And he's
as far as we know, we don't know, but he's probably fine.
He's extremely affable. Mm-hmm. He seems very down to earth.
Right.
It's great. I saw a video yesterday of like what happens when, like, you sort of potentially put his wife in danger. He was coming out of...
Are you talking about Tom Hanks or that Colonel Parker?
Tom Hanks.
Uh-huh. I don't think Colonel Parker was ever married. He was on the run from...
Yeah.
A lot of
so Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson are like coming out of a hotel, and obviously it's the paparazzi. They're swarming them. Tom Hanks, he doesn't say like, "Hey, how you doing?" But he's like, he's like, "Hey," he doesn't like yell at him or whatever.
He's not mean nor super welcoming.
They're standing waiting for their limo, and like one of the paparazzi isn't looking, and he knocks into Rita Wilson. And she's like, "Whoa!" And Tom Hanks is like, "Oh, get in the car, get in the car." He turns around, he's like, "Back up, back the fuck up,
you
knocking
did that
into my wife."
Yeah.
And like the people are like,
yeah.
They're standing there, and one of the dudes turns around and turns around to the other paparazzi. And he's like, "Chill, everyone, chill." Like,
yeah.
And so I was like, I have never seen him do
that's
that
amazing.
Before.
That's amazing.
But you know what? It's in defense of his wife.
Well, right. Yeah. Like, so, in defense of someone he loves and cares about. Yeah. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, if he didn't do that, you might actually go, like,
yeah,
mm-hmm. I don't know.
I saw it, and I like had this desire
to
send it to everyone. But I was like, this is gonna get around.
I love you, Tom Hanks.
Yeah, but I was like, ooh, spicy.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Thanks, Tom Hanks.
That's really funny because we've talked about it before, and I've been trying to get you guys to watch Korean dramas with me.
I know.
I think you'd really enjoy them.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Yeah. We've enjoyed what you showed
us, too. Some more than others.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We won't go too much into it, but the celebrity culture in Korea is incredibly toxic.
Yeah.
It's much more similar to, like, old school Hollywood. And so it's funny when you say that, like, this video of Tom Hanks feeling like it's okay for him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't hesitate to do that. And then the paparazzi listened to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if that happened in Korea, Tom Hanks would never work again.
Mm. Yeah, I remember you saying that to us.
He would never work again, and the paparazzi would not back. And, like, it's just so funny the way that, like, I mean, it's not funny in, like, way.
Yeah.
Like, I want to, like, wrap these celebrity babies under my hen wings
say,
like, hey, you're people too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
And it's not that we're better than Korea.
I
think everything goes through phases. And so, like, the Korean Hollywood, also it's known as Hallyu, is in its sort of stages of where, like, old Hollywood was.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just really toxic. Mm-hmm. And so it's just funny when you mention Tom Hanks, the things that Hollywood people can do that – we take mm-hmm. for granted. Like, he can defend his wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yell at the paparazzi and use a curse word.
Yeah.
And if this was another country, maybe especially Korea, but I would imagine that Bollywood is probably the same.
Sure.
And Nollywood might be like that as well. I don't – Nollywood is Nigeria's.
Okay. I was just about to ask. Yeah.
Which I only know that because I know some people from Nigeria. You know, so it's just that's interesting to me.
That's so strange that, like, there's almost this cultural siding with the leeches instead of the people being preyed upon.
For real. So it's like one of those things where I would say probably Hollywood people would say, oh, we feel like we're objects and that the people treat us like objects.
Yeah.
But it's nothing compared to the objectification of celebrities in places like Korea, China, Japan.
Yeah.
And some of these other places where, like, so one of Brian and I's favorite actor, within a week, he had a quote-unquote scandal.
Right.
Someone made an online accusation against him, an ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Within 2 days, it was proved to be a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And he still took 7 months off of work because, like, had that much of an effect. Or there is a guy that was popular for a long time, and there was a quote-unquote scandal because during a press conference, he wouldn't link arms. With the actress that he had been in a drama with.
Yeah.
And then he left. He had to leave a drama he was in partway through. He says because of mental health issues. Mm-hmm. But like the people on the internet were all like, oh, his girlfriend told him he's not allowed to do skinship with this. So skinship is the term for like any kind of like romantic touch, like holding hands, anything that indicates a romantic interest. Mm-hmm. They call it that skinship. And so, I mean, there's all this stuff that was like this little thing like blew up into this scandal. And for like a year, he didn't work.
Jeez.
And so like he's kind of starting to work again.
Yeah.
And the woman that was his girlfriend at the time, like she took some time off of working even. Like because people were like, oh, it's her fault because she told him he wasn't allowed to touch another. It was just like, oh my God, this is insane. I mean, like, so I just, there's this mama, big sister in me. This mama in me that just wants to go there and be like, come here, babies.
Yeah, you can live with me.
You're people. Yeah. You're allowed to be a person.
Yeah.
You're allowed to be a human.
I'm like, what the heck?
I mean, like, there's sort of this scale of, like, what we need to hold people accountable for.
Yeah.
And so I've had two beers, so I can't remember his name. The shitty
Anna Quesadilla.
Anna Quesadilla. Thanks, Andrea. Andrea is probably like a super awesome person just trying her best.
Yeah, and she does is pick up the food.
That's
It's
just like we talked about before. So I've talked to Brian and I have talked about this when we used to watch a lot of stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't watch as much because it sometimes reminds me of somebody that you know, it just reminds me of a situation that gives me a little bit of PTSD.
Sure.
So, but we used to watch a lot of stand-up comedy.
Was it that girl kissing the Hansen thing?
Yeah, it was her.
I just can't shake it.
I just can't. I just can't. It's like scarred everything in my life. So we used to watch a lot more stand-up comedy. I'm starting to forget my point.
Shit, that's actually my fault.
So you watch a lot of stand-up comedy.
I interrupted.
Talking about some of these.
What were we talking about? Celebrities. Oh, comedy. Yeah. Oh, because I said, I forget what I said, but I said something about comedic effect. Mm-hmm. Basically comedic effect, which has come up a couple times in this discussion. And so Brian and I would talk about, he's like, we talk about, like, how much of this is really that comedian?
Right.
You know, Jim Gaffigan's a good example of, he really sells himself as like the schlub, husband and a shitty father.
Yeah.
And then you kind of read about like, he's actually a pretty good husband, a pretty good father and all this stuff. And so we've talked about before how like these stand-up comedians, a lot of times it's an exaggerated form of themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's a shtick to sort of like, and so that's kind of what we do here too, is like we pick parts of ourselves that maybe used to be true or whatever, and we kind of exaggerate them for comedic effect. So I forget why that started, why I started saying that. Anyway, so what's his face? The producer that just abused all kinds of Hollywood actors.
Oh, Harvey Weinstein.
Thank you, Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein. So it's like two ends of the spectrum. Like we need to find somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Like Harvey Weinstein needs to be caught. Kim San-ho, who actually didn't do anything wrong, but overnight was completely canceled before anyone found any evidence.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't need to be canceled. Harvey Weinstein needs to be canceled.
Yeah.
Kim San-ho needs to come here to the United States and live with us.
Yeah.
I'm trailing off into a personal
our
basement
is open.
Our basement. We'll redo it for you, Kim San-ho. And I would move on to An Bo-young, except that I think that
Onion.
That is actually yes, that's correct and not correct at the same time. So An Young is too casual. You wouldn't use that in general. That you would use, so the Koreans, even more so than the Japanese, have a really sort of like strict hierarchy to the point where you will use this different word for hello depending on who you're talking to. So like An Young is really casual. Mostly, if you want to be safe, you say Annyeonghaseyo.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway. Yes. Anyway.
Yo.
Yo is a polite ending that gets added to the end of the sentence. Okay. So whatever word is the last word of the sentence.
So Sylvester Stallone would be a god.
Stallone already is set up for success. These actors get to be 40 and 50 and they never marry and they never have kids and they never, like, if they date anyone, it's considered like a scandal.
Yeah, right.
And it's just like, you know, it's just one of those. And I think it might be people are starting to recognize it, but it's still one of those things that I just like, I just look and I'm like, you're human and you're being treated like a commodity.
Yeah.
And so, but I also binge watch the dramas.
Yeah.
So of course, I don't know that I get to like really.
I don't know what's real.
I think it's the two cans of beer that's making me
probably
ultra
introspective,
ultra sincere.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I should just that'll be a novel I write someday. That it's like
the two cans of beer make me sincere.
And other short stories.
Oh my god, keep that. That's amazing.
Of course,
write a short.
Of course.
I think that's
there's documentation.
I don't actually write books, but I love to think of the titles of like what was my autobiography.
All right, someone else.
Well, that was what we excelled at in newspaper class. Like we were good writers, but like our favorite thing was thinking of headlines.
Yeah. I remember the newspaper teacher being like, you know, you guys have to go out and interview people.
You have to actually write the article.
You can't just think of headlines.
You can't just write about what you want to write.
Mr. Hall,
what
about this? Hold on. Before you write the story before
you write
keep
the story
headphones.
First.
Can I write a story about this? No, write a story about the school. Go interview people at school. This is real.
You guys can't
I didn't want to interview
you guys
anybody.
Can't keep writing about Guns N' Roses.
But
my
it's
God.
What I care about. You can't keep writing op-ed pieces. You have to write about the kid who grows his own cactus.
What?
It's
an easy interview. It's in the class right across
the
hall.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just
go
walk across
this
the
kid,
hall.
This kid, I wrote the story, and he's.
It was like a paragraph
him, this kid gave me nothing. Like,
I
you,
know.
He's, Mr. Hall, he's
you
giving.
You want me to interview people?
He's giving me
nothing
to work with. I'm
there's
gonna have to make
shit up. There's
a
paragraph in the article, but it had an amazing fucking headline.
This kid's gonna look so good once I'm done with him. Yeah.
You guys would be really great if someone paid you to make clickbait headlines.
Yep.
That's what you need to be.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, thinking of clickbait reminds me of something I'd like to kind of round out the show
with. Oh my god.
We haven't even done this month in history yet.
So,
we didn't do Due South. Damn it. That needs its
another
own
time.
Episode.
That may get its own episode.
We will dignify it with more time than just 5 minutes.
I think it definitely deserves. And Paul Gross and his just career.
Canadianness.
His career as like the Canadian Times.
Speaking of Canadians, real quick, I just started watching Letterkenny finally.
Oh, we liked the cartoon, the like little Letterkenny.
Yeah.
Oh my god. So we just. I must pee myself.
Pitter patter, let's get at her. It's like come on with it.
Pitter
patter, let's get at her.
Let's just say, don't watch those things when you're pregnant.
Of course not.
Oh, yeah.
I can't. Those are my most memorable.
Well, you watched Live at Purple Onion when you were pregnant with Ben.
I was going to tell
you.
I thought that Ben was going to come out. I thought I was going to like split in half and he was like, I was laughing so hard. Even since then, we've watched Live at the Purple Onion, who is, if people don't know, the comedian is Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we've watched Live at the Purple Onion, I think, twice since then, and I still laughed so
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny.
Hard that I've almost, I mean, at this point, everything, I've had three babies, and so at this point, I pee myself when I sneeze. And so,
of course.
So do they.
Yeah. Anyway.
So
this one in history. Sorry,
so you've never been on the show, but I think we've told you in this particular segment for this series Ramble for Radcast Ramble. But I think we've told you that for this series we specifically do a segment called This Month in History because Matt and I, and I think all of us are in our family are history buffs.
We do. We love history.
Even if our dad wasn't a history teacher, I feel like we would have been history buffs.
Well, I feel like he was just destined to be a history teacher because of our fascination with history.
But one of the things we love more than history is comedy.
Yes.
So the history of comedy. Anytime we can lampoon history. However,
like drunk history, which is kind of like what I'm doing right now with my two beers.
Well, drunk history is actually...
Drunk history is amazing. I love
but
drunk
that's
history.
Actually like factually accurate.
Yeah.
Which I mean, so listeners,
is,
so are we.
So is this. So is this.
To the best of our ability.
Do not show how the sausage is made.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Because everything we're about to say, so I say all this, these farcical things, and we love lampooning history in every scenario except right now, because everything I'm about to say is the most significant
it's
thing
true.
That happened in the month of June.
That's right, so don't make fun of it.
Yes.
Exactly. It's June?
Yes.
Jeez Louise.
So June for this month in history.
This month in history. Not what it seems to be. This month in history. Just like you and me. This month in history.
Oh, in the month of June, what we do here is we just take some of the more seminal moments in the month of June. Everything.
Treat them with the utmost
seminal.
Sincerity.
Yes. Yes. So we talk about sploosh. Talking about sploosh for three hours into the episode.
Sploosh. I thought you said spooge.
No, I said spooge.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But sploosh is the same
thing.
I've heard sploosh.
Yeah. They're cousins.
They're cousins.
Spooge it's like when you tell when I never heard booger sugar.
Yes.
Yeah. And I lost my mind. But so
cannot
okay,
believe
you
had never
told
heard
me
that
about
before.
Booger sugar, and I lost it. I loved sugar. It so much.
Booger sugar. But now I don't know.
Not
how...
actual booger sugar. Hold on. I have not taken cocaine ever in my life. I
of
haven't even
not.
Smoked pot.
Right.
I am incredibly straight laced. Actually.
Yes.
I'm sure that's a shock to everyone. Not a shock at all.
Well, I mean, you're getting pretty shifty with those beers here.
Yeah, the fact that two beers gets me a little shifty tells you I am not. It's even called single speed.
Yeah, exactly.
Which should tell you the speed at which I travel.
The speed limit.
Yeah.
Sometimes under the speed limit.
Yeah.
But I've never taken speed, I swear to God.
Yeah,
of course not.
So,
yeah.
However... Anyway. We're going to try and speed through these.
Yeah, this is more of an abridged version of this month in history.
So everything I'm about to say is true and is the most important thing that happened on that day. June 1st, 1638, the first earthquake recorded in the U.S. in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Of course, before it was known as the U.S.
Right.
And that's how the pilgrims got here.
Yes, the earthquake.
They traveled through the earthquake.
Yes, the earthquake
it, like,
just
shook
literally...
them and they like... Yeah. It was like a cartoon. Yeah. It like launched them over to the
exactly.
Americas.
Yeah. That's exactly. See, you got it. Yeah. You know.
In 1843, Sojourner Truth sets out to begin a career as an anti-slavery activist.
Mm.
1869, Thomas Edison is granted his first patent.
God, he was an asshole.
He was an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Tesla, he screwed over Tesla and so many other.
Yep.
Invent. I mean, why are we even still talking about that asshole?
I don't know. Let's move on. and also June 1st, 1980, the first transmission of CNN.
Ah,
so.
When? 1980?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So June 2nd, 1933, FDR authorizes.
Wait, so you're not going in chronological order?
No, June 2nd.
June
2nd.
We just finished June 1st.
Oh,
yeah.
I was thinking years.
Oh,
never mind.
No.
Sorry,
no.
Proceed.
Yeah. Okay. June 2nd, 1933, FDR authorizes the first swimming pool in the White House. Now.
Okay. Hold on. I got this. No, listen. I promise this is worth it. So.
If it's going to be about his polio, I've already made that joke.
It's not about polio. So there's... There's this Korean drama.
Oh. Here we go.
No,
I'm kidding.
It's
go
really
ahead.
Good.
Yeah.
You
yes.
guys would really like this one. It's called
I'm
Mr.
Sure, yeah.
Sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's so funny to me in the Korean dramas when they have an actor playing a famous American, like, historical person. And so in Mr.
I like
Sunshine,
where this is going.
FDR makes an appearance. And it's just like, first of all, the actor is not American. The accent is like clearly like German or something.
That.
But see, here's the Koreans don't know.
Sure.
So you have to.
That's
like,
why it's great.
That's
why it's funny.
Like everybody else's acting is great. It's just because I'm an American.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, but the way that they tell you that this is Roosevelt is that with very, it's very shoehorned in. He goes, we must go to Korea and speak softly and carry a big stick. And you're just like.
Oh, is that FDR?
Oh, I see now.
That's Teddy Roosevelt.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Then maybe it was Teddy. Whatever. It was one of the damn
one of the Roosevelts.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all cousins.
But that's not to the main point.
Right.
The main point is that. Every once in a while, you'll watch one, and there'll be a... Because America had a big presence...
Yeah, of course.
...during and a bit after the Korean War. And so there's, you know, there's that. And so when they have a reference to a famous historical American, it's funny as an American watching it to be like...
What's this?
This is
a show that takes place in space. Why is
super
FDR here?
Shitty. Yeah. But you are more critical of like the acting and the writing. It sets a tone for you because you have the, I don't know, maybe most Americans don't. Maybe I just do because we're history, you know, the children of a history historian.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so when you said that, I'm sorry. Yeah. I know. I can tell. You're just like, shut this.
No.
Go ahead. Anyway.
So FDR, June 2nd, 1933, FDR authorizes the first swimming pool in the White House. Now he can have an appropriate spot to wear his trademark Speedos and a pool floaty big enough to hold his wheelchair.
You're just upset because you didn't get to make your joke.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I spent so much time writing these jokes.
I surveilled you from a joke. It wasn't that you really wanted to move things along.
No,
it
was
because... to tell your joke.
I'm in the flow of telling my joke.
I killed it. That's
so great. 1953, coronation of Elizabeth II, the old bag of bones is still leaving her dusty farts on the throne to this day. So June 2nd.
They barely have a smell anymore.
I just read she's like the longest reigning monarch.
Yeah,
now,
sounds about right.
The fact that she's not a real monarch, like she doesn't have any real power.
It's a clearly formal position.
She's still technically the longest reigning one.
It's
in
true.
England.
The royals are only respected on like a ceremonial sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the prime minister runs the place. They just want to use royal land. So they're
mooching off the people.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's a lot of people pissed off about that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So. Here's somebody who probably was pissed off. 1981, Barbara Walters asked Katharine Hepburn the provocative and groundbreaking question. If you were a tree, what tree would you be?
Barbara Walters she used to be considered like the journalist.
Cream of the crop.
And now a lot of people are looking back and criticizing a lot of her ways of when she handled interviews with women in the 80s, 90s, things like that.
I think it would be funny if Katharine Hepburn is telling a heartfelt story about working with Spencer Tracy or philanthropy, and Barbara Walters just interrupts mid-sentence and asks, if you were a tree, what tree
like
would
Jiminy
you be?
Jiminy Glick.
Just totally disregarding
anything.
June 3rd, 1888, Casey at the Bat is first published.
Nah.
He plays for a team called the Mudville Nine, which is what I call my record for most dumps taken in a day.
Shut up.
The Mudville Nine.
Be the new Mudville Nine. June 3rd, 1981, Pope John Paul II was released from the hospital after his latest assassination attempt. And I like to think as he's leaving and signing out, there's people still trying to take him, trying to kill him, but they're falling in these slapstick ways. Like in the Naked Gun or the Pink Panther. They're over his, like on his door as it's opening, and they're trying to hit him with a hammer, but they fall.
Yes,
like a six-story window.
Yes. I can see it in my head.
Trying to take
down Clouseau, and there's this
exactly. June 4th, 1944, Dwight Eisenhower cancels the original planned D-Day invasion due to inclement weather. So
it's just too damn cold outside.
It's raining.
Oh,
which it ends up on D-Day. It was raining.
But it may have been worse.
Yeah,
the visuals you may not be able to see. Well.
I think it's silly that you cancel an invasion due to inclement weather, like you would a baseball game.
Yeah,
this is war. So June 4th, 1980.
Which you shouldn't be having anyway.
I know.
Anyway, go ahead.
40 years later, Arnold Palmer fails to qualify for the U.S. Open for the first time in 32 years. Out of anger, he snapped his 9-iron over his leg and flushes golf balls down the toilet.
I didn't even know. I can't imagine that it's easy to break a 9-iron.
He probably didn't really do it. He probably just shoved it up his ass.
No, he probably had his bodyguard do it. I mean, you just have like the two most influential things 40 years apart, D-Day and then Arnold Palmer throwing a hissy fit.
Yeah. Due to inclement weather, he broke his nine iron.
June 6th, 1844, YMCA formed by George Williams. YMCA is an acronym for George Williams' full name.
No, it's
YMCA
not.
YMCA is a Roman numeral.
YMCA is the famous dance.
Ah, yes.
In 1938, Sigmund Freud arrives in London, and I'd like to think he steps foot off a train, shot pans up from his feet, and he puts a giant cigar in his mouth, lights it, and from behind Terminator sunglasses says, "Let's go find some mommy issues."
I like that.
TCB, taking care of business.
Back to Elvis.
Back to Elvis. June 7th, 1955, President Eisenhower becomes first president to appear on TV in color, just in time for the country to see how wind burns left his face beet red.
What was the year again?
1955.
I don't know why I thought, oh, no, that was the first televised presidential debate.
Yeah.
Was Nixon and Kennedy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which was one of the reasons Kennedy probably won the popular vote.
I mean, that was a game changer. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, all right, girl, I'll pop back up, puppy.
I mean, like, Nixon was a dick who did illegal things. And
well, I mean,
was not
Dick
great.
Is short for Richard. So.
Oh, shit.
What's funny you
said. Two cans of single speed, baby.
Watergate, all the Watergate stuff happened in June, so.
Oh. Yeah.
June 7th, 1982, Ronald Reagan meets with the Pope and then later Queen Elizabeth, which turns out the Queen was just the Pope in a wig.
Gotcha. And Ronald Reagan appreciated that because he was an actor first.
Yeah.
That's a great acting job.
Setting a very, very bad precedent.
Dangerous precedent.
Precedent for the president.
June 8th, 1912, Carl Laemmle incorporates Universal Pictures, which they would gain notoriety from their Universal Horror
movie monsters.
Which I'm looking at you, Bride of Frankenstein.
Look at you, Brad and Frankie. Can I tell? Let me tell you something. You guys will love this.
Yes.
The Ben's my oldest, and he will be 10. Guys, can you believe he's going to be 10?
That's nice.
He's going to be 10
I thought about
in
that the other day. I remember like, how is
2 weeks. Yeah. I know. He's going to be 10 in 2 weeks. He's refining his humor now so that it's actually funny. And so he came up and he goes, "Mom, when life gives you lemonades." I'm sorry. I said it wrong. Oh, my God. Damn it. When life gives you lemons. Say that they're yellow oranges and charge twice the price. I was torn between, I don't know that I support those values, but that was
hilarious. I will say I do need to get out
sorry,
of here.
Sorry, okay.
No, it's okay. So June 8th, 1978, Nevada jury rules Howard Hughes' Mormon will is a forgery, which the fact that it was written in crayon probably gave it away. June 9th, 1934, first appearance of Donald Duck in a short called Dipshit Donald.
No. I didn't think so.
Dickhead Donald. Yeah. That's what it was.
And Donald had PTSD, yo.
I couldn't understand him, so I guess he probably did.
No, there's like old. I feel like there's a Cracked article I read. Showed like an old comic strip where he was having like war flashbacks.
Jeez.
Yeah. On that note, 50 years later, Cyndi Lauper scores a number one hit with "Time After Time."
Oh yes,
great
song.
Strictly Ballroom. Which was in Strictly
Ballroom. Yes, exactly.
That's the way the
cookie
crumbles.
There we go. Let's do it, yo. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
June 10th, 1752, Ben Franklin conducts his kite experiment to see if lightning treats syphilis.
Did that
work? Nope.
I think there's a lot of problems with what you just said. Well,
don't go sticking your dick in everything that moves. That's what I say.
Playboy of the 1700s.
He did spend a lot of time in France.
He did.
June 11th, 1993, Jurassic Park opens in theaters.
Oh, yeah.
June 12th, 1923, Harry Houdini with a little weenie frees himself from a straitjacket.
Yeah.
While suspended.
That's our running joke.
He's more interesting in his fictitious version, than his real version.
Yeah. He freed himself from a straitjacket while suspended upside down 40 feet above the New York City streets. He then defecated all over himself.
No,
a witness said they heard Houdini lamenting to one of the men who brought him down, saying, "I thought it was just a fart."
misjudged that.
June 13th.
We've all done it. Yeah. We've pushed all a little too done hard. It.
June 13th, 1967. Thurgood Marshall is nominated as the first African American Supreme Court Justice. June 14th, 1946, Nat King Cole records the Christmas song.
Oh, yeah.
In 1993 of that same day, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is nominated to the Supreme Court.
RBG.
RBG.
Yeah.
R.I.P. RBG. June 15th, 1994, The Lion King opens in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it in theaters.
The only ever suggested sex scene in a Disney movie.
Very true.
I think we all know that that's...
We know what nuzzling their noses is.
And then jumping behind a bush somewhere.
Yes.
Out exactly. of the picture. Come on.
Need
now.
A little lion love.
That's the Elton John song, yeah, exactly. right?
I don't think that's what it was.
Oh, never mind. June 16th, 1983, the Pope visits Poland. Upon arriving, he asks, where is Santa? One of his advisors reminds him that they are in Poland, not North Poland.
North Poland. We had a lot of Pope moments in last month.
I'm going to take any opportunity to kind of throw barbs at JP, too. 1995, June 16th, 1995, Batman Forever opens in theaters.
Yes, I love Batman Forever.
This one's a second.
Val Kilmer.
Second. Oh, the no.
Third
that's
one.
The third one.
Yeah.
Val Kilmer.
Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey. Only one soundtrack is Forever. Batman Forever. Yeah.
Kiss from a Rose.
That was okay.
Kiss from a Rose is my favorite song of all time.
Sitting right over Samantha's shoulder there, I have an advertisement for the Batman Forever original soundtrack, which I treasure.
Yes.
I feel like that one, I could go either way on that one.
I love it. I have a lot of great memories.
Michael Keaton was my favorite.
Of course.
And then I think Christian Bale did a pretty good
job.
I liked the Dark Knight.
The first two.
I haven't seen. Yeah. Never saw the third one.
It's not that good.
And I haven't seen Pattinson.
Or...
I have no interest in seeing Affleck. I still maintain my distaste for Ben Affleck
fair
that
enough.
I have for
yeah.
the last 20 years.
Yes,
that's fair.
Enough.
Pattinson is
very dark but very good.
I've heard Pattinson makes a good and he, despite getting much like Hansen,
yes.
getting flack because of Twilight. He gets flack because of Twilight, but he's actually done lots of movies besides that, and he's an excellent actor.
He's a really
That's
good
what
actor.
I've heard.
He's a very excellent
That's
actor.
That's what I've heard.
Very good in the Batman.
I think we hold such high esteem for Batman Forever because we did it in the episode we did with
Kiss
our friend
from
Tyler
Rose,
Crandall.
Right?
Kiss from a Rose.
I think that's pretty much where nostalgia started for us. Kind of with Power Rangers thrown in there, but Batman Forever is real kind of like nostalgia start for us, and that's our business is nostalgia.
Yeah.
I'm not against Batman.
Oh,
of course.
Of course.
The George, what is it?
George
Batman
Clooney, Batman
Robin.
That one was awful.
Yeah.
But this one was definitely borderline.
I could
go either way on
that's
it.
Fair. It's definitely very fun.
June 17th, 1991, long dead President Zachary Taylor's body is exhumed to determine his cause of death. Although rumors led many to believe it was arsenic poisoning, the test showed it was actually...
That nobody gave a shit.
Yeah, the test showed it was actually from a perforated rectum after getting an atomic wedgie from his vice president, Millard Fillmore. Fillmore was dug up and his remains stood trial on the murder of former President Taylor. Dick Wolf took inspiration from the court case when creating Law and Order.
Yes.
That's all 100%
true. 1,000%
true,
actually.
In 1994, after going through an existential crisis because of the Fillmore Corpse Court case.
Fillmore Corpse Court case.
O.J. Simpson leads police on chase in his Ford Bronco.
Yes.
I thought we were supposed to be saying factual. I love this.
This is factional.
All of this is factual. We don't lie to our audience.
June 18th, Amelia Earhart becomes first woman to fly across the Atlantic.
And Emilio Estevez.
Yeah,
I'm just joking.
Met her there at the Bermuda Triangle.
met her.
In 1983 of June 18th, Sally Ride becomes first U.S. woman in space. Say hello to Amelia Earhart for me.
That's where Amelia Earhart is. Yes. She's in space.
June 19th, now widely as the last 2 years celebrated, is
Juneteenth.
Juneteenth is a national holiday to commemorate the official ending
and
of slavery.
We need to go even further. There's a lot of states that are not
acknowledging
it as
like
they're recognizing. Most of these states are now recognizing it in name, like only lip service only, but they're not like, you know, sort of going the further step, which is recognizing it as like, hey, you should be able to get off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Work for, like,
yeah. Like a, it's an, right. It's a real holiday.
Like as a real holiday. Yeah. So like at Brian's work, because two of the own, there's two like main owners of his company and one of them is black. Mm-hmm. And so they've always gotten Martin Good. Luther King
yeah.
off,
yeah.
like the actual, which I mean, schools and stuff do, but
yeah.
lots of workplaces don't get yeah. right. MLK. Mm-hmm. And then they also, Juneteenth is on a Sunday this year, but mm-hmm. when yeah. it's not, they also get, have that's started great. To get Juneteenth.
Yeah. Good. That's awesome. Awesome.
But yeah, yeah, it needs to be, we need to push a little harder
yeah.
even
yeah.
for Juneteenth.
Agreed.
For
sure. Yes. June 21st, 1942, FDR and Winston Churchill meet in Washington, D.C. The papers mm-hmm. called that weekend Frankie D. and Winnie C.'s Excellent Adventure. Yes.
Have you guys seen the third?
Not
Bill
yet.
And Ted? No.
I want to see it.
I heard it's pretty
it.
Fun.
I haven't seen it, but I have heard good things about
yeah.
it.
June 22nd, 1940, the first Dairy Queen opens in Joliet, Illinois.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then 1963, Little Stevie Wonder releases his first single.
Yes. There's, why do you say little?
Because
like,
it was
really?
Called Little. He was Little Stevie Wonder.
He was like
Wonder.
14, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Oh, was he
yeah.
really?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he.
Oh,
no, he not,
wow.
He,
that,
he,
we have a no, Stevie the, Wonder poster.
Yeah,
in the
but
poster,
it's not that.
In the
yeah.
studio.
Yeah,
not, but yeah, he was.
He was
a child
he
prodigy.
Was 12.
I did not know that.
He was 12.
Yeah, like 12 or 13.
He,
but
he was
known as Little Stevie Wonder.
I didn't know he was a child prodigy. I mean, I knew he was.
Yeah,
on the
have you seen him play the drums?
No,
that's not even a joke. He plays the drums.
No, he's incredible.
No,
yeah.
No,
oh, yeah.
I,
yeah.
no, I just no,
yeah.
I haven't seen that.
He's incredible.
Yeah,
just,
yeah,
yeah. Just the
June 23rd on the subject of Michael Keaton, 1989. Mm. June 23rd, 1989, Batman premieres,
nah,
which was unbelievably like Batman
yeah.
between
was,
marketing
mm-hmm.
and
oh, yeah.
the actual movie.
Which
and
is,
it like, seems weird to say that Michael Keaton
yeah.
is the best Batman,
but you know,
you don't think of him that way, like. Looking at him objectively, especially
yeah.
considering like the standards that we have now for, I mean,
superhero
films
yeah.
everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah.
And even the dopiest superhero
yeah.
is like ripped.
Paul Rudd is ripped.
Paul Rudd also made a deal with Satan, clearly.
Right.
The
he's
man
not
is like
aged.
53.
Yeah.
Apparently.
He is
and
not
he
aged.
Looks like he's 30.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'll
like,
let him have it. He's a good guy.
Michael
like.
Keaton.
Yeah.
Just does not look like your typical action hero, but mm-hmm. in my opinion, he's my favorite Batman.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, he's amazing,
my favorite
and he's
Batman.
Just he's a great mm-hmm. actor.
I'd say
yeah.
I'd say
that and Mr. Mom.
Yes,
favorite.
Mom's
exactly.
fantastic.
Yeah. I love Mr. Mom.
Gonna have to get rid of the Whoopi, buddy.
I know.
But,
I think I'm gonna go home and watch Mr. Mom.
I was just about
it's
to
so
say
good.
I need to watch that this week.
I really want
to
watch it.
Yeah. With that being said, I'd say. That Batman, Mom got it out of the Warner Brothers catalog. Or, no, out of the Columbia, like the Columbia House
yeah.
catalog.
Yes,
something.
I did Columbia
yeah.
House.
And
oh, we all did Columbia
yes.
House.
And I remember we watched that just as much as Batman Forever.
Yeah.
So, like,
oh,
those
yeah.
were our two Batman movies.
Uh-huh.
And then also June 23rd, 1992, perennial loser Susan Lucci gets snubbed at the Daytime Emmys for the 13th time
That's
in a row.
That's right.
That's so yeah. crazy. Did she ever, do you know, did
she won,
ever
I
won
think
one?
She eventually did.
Did she win, like,
kind
was it like a real one or was it
like
an
honorary one.
Like you've been here forever, you're the queen of soap operas kind of thing?
I don't know.
I just don't get how you don't win one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're nominated so many times.
Yeah.
On June 25th, 1975, the big fat sex machine Barry White releases Can't
yes.
Get Enough of Your Love, Babe.
Yes. Barry White.
The next year is used as a theme to The Omen.
of course.
Not really, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
I wanted to know if that was one of your jokes or.
Yes. In 1984 of June 25th, Purple Rain, the album
yes.
was released.
Great album.
June 26th, 1915, Germany suppresses Vorwärts, a newspaper, the Vorwärts newspaper after it calls for peace. And I ask, isn't that where Harry Potter's house was?
Yeah.
Vorwärts.
Yeah.
Vorwärts. No.
Vorwärts of wizarding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's something that is true, and I wasn't making a joke, but it sounds like a joke that I would, I guess, try to write. JFK gives his speech where he famously said, "Ich bin ein Berliner."
Yeah, that's really famous.
Though,
yeah.
He meant, "I am a Berliner."
Like
Berliner.
From Berlin.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what he really said was, "I am a donut."
Yeah.
That's what it translated to.
I think the Simpsons ran with that.
I think they did. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a joke on the Simpsons.
Oh, yeah. The 26th, 1977, Elvis performs his last concert. A month and a half later, his asshole exploded while on the toilet, effectively killing the bloated king of rock and roll.
Peanut butter and dinner sandwiches.
Yes, exactly.
So he was just trying to take care of business.
That's how he died.
His asshole exploded. Yeesh.
20 years later, the event would inspire J.K. Rowling to release Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
I think on this show we've created three different ways Elvis has died. Yes. I think a squirrel shot him.
All of them are true.
Squirrel shot him. Exploded.
Oh my God.
June 27th, 1972, Atari is founded.
Oh my God.
June 28th, 1820, tomatoes are proved to be non-poisonous by Colonel Robert Gibbon after he ate one in front of onlookers on the steps of the Salem, New Jersey courthouse. He said, "See this, dear people, just a harmless fruit. Nothing wrong with my health or my body." He then took a swig of bleach and walked off.
That is interesting, though, because like for much of human history, something being red usually indicated that it was poisonous.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of different, throughout history, a lot of different places, like they wouldn't touch things like tomatoes because they were considered poisonous. So I don't, the other stuff, I don't know about. But that is interesting.
But there is a grain of truth.
There's a grain of truth that I had heard
there,
about.
Yes.
That.
June 29th, 1940, Robin the Boy Wonder makes his debut.
Yes.
And finally, when we're talking about Batman, and also kind of round out this episode on the subject of Spider-Man.
Oh, nice.
June 30th, 2004, Spider-Man 2 opens in the box office.
Well, there you go.
That was this month in history. Samantha, thank you for joining us.
What a
as
ramble.
Always.
That was
this
great.
Is like the textbook ramble.
This is when we were not lying. Of course, we wouldn't have lied to you about this, but we were not we were totally like, there was a reason we said there are people when we wanted to start this series, there were definitely people at the top of the list that we wanted to do it with. And you were definitely up there.
Yeah.
Now you all hear why.
Yeah.
And I mean, stats don't lie. The episodes I'm on,
they get some pretty good traffic.
They get some pretty good stats. So,
yes, and again, for good reason. Hopefully you all enjoyed it. This one is our longest since being back. But again,
fine
for good
me.
Reason.
Yeah.
Fine with us. Until the next time.
Mm-hmm. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. Because why would you want to be rude when you can
be
rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.